Thank you so much for your presentation tonight. I'm really touched by it. I can't understand in this day and age, although I should be able to, how the government can still come in and take babies this way. How is that possible? I don't understand. And it enrages me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Just to that, too. So yesterday, the province of Ontario actually apologized to 60 Scoop survivors and Indigenous adoptees in Rama, just north of Toronto. And I don't, unfortunately, don't have the article with me, but one of the chiefs, I think his response was the best, because I think that, I mean, my personal feelings are an apology is great, except that you're still doing it. So what's the point? And when the chiefs who was there said, you know, I hear your apology. I know that it was made with good intentions, but how do you apologize to mothers whose children were brought home in coffins? And I think that's it, right? Like, we have these apologies. We have all of this awareness that this is happening, this gaining awareness, and yet it's still happening. Like, it happens every day. Like, how many kids in care in Manitoba are Indigenous? Is it 90% of them?
Yes.
Yeah, like 90% of kids are Indigenous in care. And you have to think, too, like, in most of our communities, youth are the fastest growing population, right? So by taking our kids, you're taking the core of our community. So what's that doing not only to those children, but within our communities? So, yeah, I don't know how it still happens, but the reality is it does. And I think that we have to be really careful, especially, you know, as I think that, like, the 60 Scoop is sort of getting more attention. It's, you know, people are becoming more enlightened about what happened, that it's still happening, right? And in some ways, the 60 Scoop is almost a misnomer, because it never stopped. So, yeah, thank you.
So one thing that is happening in Manitoba right now, we're acknowledging that babies are still being taken from our families, but as well, we also have different, CFS districts, which are like Indigenous, but at the same time, there's this new movement where we're thinking of trying to implement some change at a systemic level, where we try to support the families, the actual birth families. You know, why don't you give all that money that you give to the foster care system and to the foster families and give it to the actual families themselves? So what we're trying to do with Fearless R2W is we're trying to, you know, talk to our MLAs, talk to our government people, and implement this idea that I just gave to you. So, yeah.
Thank you. When they come to take the children, do they go to Indigenous families or to non-Indigenous families?
Honestly, there's not enough Indigenous families who are healthy. We try to keep them with the extended family, but honestly, no. What you're seeing in Manitoba right now is a lot of the Filipino community is coming to our side and helping our children out. So, which is good, because the Filipino community has a really great idea of what family is, and I see a lot of them taking the children to, like, drumming circles and learning about their culture. But no, there's very low, low healthy Indigenous families in Winnipeg itself. Yeah.
Yep. The main reason why, of course.
Really? Okay.
I don't like this.
things. The main reason why is, as we all know, that there is this ill health in the communities is because the rug was pulled out from under your feet by the people from away. And however sorry one feels about that, the damage has been done, and it must be so difficult. I can't think that there is ill will behind the taking of children. It must be that they feel that it must be for their good, but obviously it isn't. And what you're doing, I think, is wonderful, because you're recreate a community, going mm-hmm. back to what you had before that was so sadly, badly lost. And again, I am enraged by that. I can't believe that people thought that they were doing the right thing when
right,
they were.
Right.
But the problem at the moment is that there is this ill health. There is drinking. And I suppose you would take a child away from that. But I can't understand in your case at all why that mm-hmm. should have happened.
So I had the experience recently of meeting a woman at a 60s soup gathering who was a CAS worker in the 70s in Ontario, who was a white woman. And the first thing that she said, so we were talking about in our group, like, whether we considered ourselves part of the 60s scoop or not. Because for me, I hadn't. My mom gave me up for adoption. So it's not like I was sort of scooped out of a community. But what this woman said was that, you know, for her and her job, she said, I knew just what to say. I was trained in just what to say to convince a family that they were making the choice to give up their kid. And I think that this is something, I mean, we very much see still in child welfare systems, right? That idea of, like, well, there's someone more suited to take care of your child. But the other thing with this woman is that she eventually quit her job and has been dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder for almost 2 decades directly because of what she was asked to do as a CAS worker. If you were on the Facebook event for tonight, I can actually post a video that has her in it that was part of the OPSU documentary that was just released earlier this week, where she talks about it. And I think that, I mean, that's the thing is I think sometimes people believe that they're doing something with good intentions. Sometimes it's embedded racism. Sometimes it's that there aren't enough spaces for our children to go. But, I mean, and I think that Jenna has a really good point, though, around, like, foster families get paid a lot of money to foster children. It's $400 a month. Why are Indigenous families not getting $400 a month to raise them out of poverty so that they can properly care for their own children? Right?
And so we realize this. We understand that, you know, our families just need support. We need our culture back. We need our language back. And how is that going to happen? With partnerships. And so when I was talking to you guys about this book, I find what the church can do, the church kind of has a lot of money. just saying. Just a moment. So in my book, I talk about street ceremony and how our streets in the urban reserve of the North End are very sacred to us because we never had a reserve. We never lived out on the land. We had to make our own ceremonies on the streets of where we lived. So this is what my article in here talks about, is about the street ceremony. And what I talk about is collaboration with the church. Now, a lot of people in my community, as you know, come from residential schools, and they have a lot of resentments. A lot of my knowledge keepers and a lot of the people that I look up to don't agree with what I'm doing right now with the church. But someone needs to make the first step, right? Someone has to do it, and it's going to be our young people. So in my article, I talk about how we can work collaboratively with the church. And in the last article, I say, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to get you guys
to buy the book.
So, you know, you support local. See what I did there? Yeah. So support local. Check out our ideas in here on how you can give back. Give back to ideas like the bell tower. Give back ideas to what Evan is doing here. That's one tangible thing that the church can do to help our families move forward and heal.
This is a fabulous series that she's holding. It's in Totomac, right?
Yes.
Puts it out. The Mennonite Church, and God bless them, has worked with something like over 160 contributors, and they have created a series. This is the third one, and it's a quest for respect. It's about it's a number of different people talking about indigenous spirituality, the relationship with Christianity, all kinds of things like that. Very respectful, all kinds of perspectives, very helpful. Mm-hmm. And your article, now I can put your face to it. It's wonderful. But there are two other books that go with this series. They're a fabulous series. And is Commonwealth, is that the publisher? Anyway, if you go online and look at in Totomac or Quest for Respect.
We can put it on the Facebook event.
Yeah. It's a fabulous series.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking to that.
Yeah, well. So actually, I have a little gift for Jenna. Can you guys hear me? So when I met Jenna, like I said, it was through Nanindawa, who was talking about ceremonies and street ceremonies, and something we're trying to do here is to start doing pipe ceremonies on the streets. And I think that it's really important because we have to meet people where they're at, and I think that so often in urban centers, we don't consider this connection to the land, right? It's like, oh, there's concrete, so we have to go out to the bush. We have to, you know, we always have to leave the city. So I think that helping people in our communities to reconnect to this land, which is sacred, that we're on, is so important. So I wanted to offer you this. It's a smudging kit, and it was actually made by Dawn Setford, who's one of the 60 Scoop survivors. And so I hope that it has a good place at the bell tower. I have to say, like, just sorry, we will let you leave.
Not yet.
After we met Jenna, we had like 3 hours in Winnipeg before our flight left a few days later. And so she did like the good urban niche thing, and she took us down to the North End, took us to, I think, the Friendship Center.
Indigenous Family Center, which is also run by a church.
Right. Took us to the bell tower, and they actually have planters that have sweet grass growing, and we got to pick sweet grass and braid it and have it with our drums. So speaking of our – oh, hold on. Lee's got something. Blame Lee.
More gift-giving. Very traditional. So I was just seeing one of my elders this week, and he told me about how when the thunderers talk – all of creation listens, and I really felt that tonight, that when you both spoke, everybody listened, and that all of us have a change affected in our hearts. So I have these prints that I made of the Thunderer and the O'Dayman, the heart berry. So let me go ahead. This is just on behalf of us saying thank you so much for being here. Sharing of words, sharing of knowledge. I want to leave you with a traveling song. So you travel on your journeys safely and may Creator watch over you.
Way.
There's one more quick thing. Sorry. We were actually given a gift for this gathering tonight. This is from Pastor Ray Minicon, who is indigenous from Australia and who works with survivors of the Stolen Generation there. So he gifted me with this prayer for any of our 60 Scoop gatherings. And although it was written for the Stolen Generation in Australia, it was definitely also written for the Stolen Generation here. So if you'll join your spirits with me in prayer. Our eternal grandfather, creator of our dreaming, grandfather of all our First Nations people in Canada and Australia, you have lived among us since time immemorial. We have always known you. You gifted this land to our ancestors as our inheritance. You have never dispossessed us nor planned to destroy us. But our lands were invaded. These invaders who came among us treated us as less than human and insulted the dignity and integrity of your image, which you placed within all humankind. Today we come to talk to you directly as we remember again the victims and survivors of one of the many crimes that were committed against our First Nations peoples. Today we remember those innocent children throughout our land who were torn apart from the loving care of our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, our elders, our brothers, and our sisters, by reprehensible government policies. They are our scooped up ones, our stolen generations. Today we remember their humiliation. We remember their feelings of enslavement and deprivation of liberty. We remember their fears that robbed them of their hopes for a better future. We remember their deep pain, grief, and shame as they were denied the honor and privilege of their true identity. And we remember the painful destruction of the dignity of their humanity as little children. Our loving grandfather, we still hear the cries of our mothers whose children were ripped from their loving care. We hear them weeping, and we know that we have not been comforted in their sad loss. We cry with them. We also remember all the forgotten, unknown, and unrecognized heroes who knowingly and willingly fought for justice and sacrificed their lives for the sake of our children. And in our hearts, they will live forever. We remember the justice and freedom fighters throughout our sovereign lands. They fought without weapons and many times with little hope. Their heroism paved the way for the rebirth of our people. With them, a national apology and national justice redress may never have happened. We honor them. Today, as we reflect on our shattered history as First Nations peoples and remember the painful stories of our scooped up ones, our stolen children, eternal grandfather, we ask and seek your presence to be constantly among our families and communities to bring your healing, your light, and your love to soothe and ease our sufferings and pain as we remember the horrors that were committed on our First Nations people for so long. Our loving grandfather, through our solemn ceremonies and memorials, we ask you to amplify our memories, to strengthen our resolve to walk with all those who seek to heal our scooped up ones, our stolen generations and our people, and provide us with the resources and strength to rebuild our cultures, our families, our communities, and our nations. We ask that you help us to forever remember the stories we hear. As stories of the brutalities our children experienced are shared, as we re-encounter the horrors of our past, we ask that these memories be strengthened and never fade in the hope that those who remember the mistakes of the past will not repeat them again. Please, holy and loving grandfather, amplify our ability to remember, strengthen our resolve to fight for reparations, for healing and your justice. And we ask these mercies in the name of the one who came to teach us the way to live a good life. Amen.